Everything's against me and it's got me down. If I jumped in the river, I would probably drown. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive. These shabby shoes I'm wearing all the time, they're full of holes and nails. Brother, if I stepped on a worn-out dime, I bet a nickel I could tell you if it was heaven or hell.
Lemon face. Lemon face. All right.
Fuck it, let's go.
Fuck it, let's go! Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Ghost Podcast, episode 388. This is Jorge.
This is Jacob.
Welcome, everybody, to the Who Goes There Podcast!
There it is.
This is Re.
How's it going, guys?
How you been?
I've been good.
Let's go full...
Full?
Full, femme today.
Full femme.
Just be femme the whole time.
Okay, what does that mean?
You know what it means.
Wow.
No, let's not do that. Let's be ourselves.
That's a silly
thing to do.
Yeah.
How's that fucking pool, man? It's, how's 4th of July with the pool?
I will say, you know, there are things that are ironic in this life and there are things that aren't. Ironically, we went to our friend's house who have a pool instead of being home.
Trash.
Rhett's like, you're saying I could have had the whole pool
to
myself?
We could have been here using the pool?
Yes, we had it planned from before the pool was like in...
If you and Ronnie came home with the kids and I was here by myself swimming
in
your
the
pool,
pool?
How upset would you be? And on a scale of 1 to 10.
If I had given you previous permission, none mad.
No permission.
Like you, like just,
I,
you
went,
were just
I broke
here?
Into your house. Like I jumped your fence, which anyone could do.
True.
And just went in the bowl of water in the dirt, which you made with concrete lining.
Yeah. Concrete leather.
And then you got home, and because of norms, you would have to, like, you know, take your balls
I'd have to kill you.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Because otherwise, Ronnie would grab your head.
I'd go grab my FUD rifle and just yeet you from existence.
Jesus. That's the M180? M130? M30? Never mind.
But yeah, once the chemicals are all balanced out, we'll have everybody over. We'll do a little who goes there.
We're going to have a game where we show Rhett a picture of a gun and tell him, like, what gun is this?
He's like, M180.
Once the chemicals are balanced?
Yeah.
It's like, the chemicals between us.
The chemicals between us.
What's he say after that?
The
weenus. No, he doesn't say anything about the weenus.
Yeah. Once the chemicals are all balanced out, we can have people over. Right now, it's like minimum people in the pool.
Your kids are beta testing the chemicals.
Right. Yeah, once their eyes stop, like, bleeding, then we'll let people come over.
You went to the pool, like, every day but 4th of July.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's crazy.
Yeah,
it's a daily thing. Who gives a fuck about 4th of July?
Exactly.
That's dope. Well, it makes sense.
We went to our friend's neighborhood, who they've been having a neighborhood 4th of July block party for the last 60 years. And I'm like... 95% of these people are fucking dead. The people that started this tradition. So, like, it's Theseus's 4th of July party.
This is what we do.
This is it. We just carry on traditions.
It's like Saturnalia turning into Christmas.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
What's it going to look like 1,000 years from now?
Same fucking shitty party, probably.
Yeah, who knows? I mean, or totally same activities, different name. And some dead deity associated with it, right?
We'll be well into pagan holidays by then.
Yeah, fucking be some space age cyber lord.
what did you do for 4th?
What did we do? Oh, we went to the estuary. It was dope. We went outside and walked all the way to fucking, like, where you could see the fucking stadium, the Bull Stadium in TJ, like in IB. You ever been there?
Mm-hmm.
And it was nice. We walked all the way to the fucking end. Most people were at the beach, so it was real. It wasn't crowded. We got some sun. Hi, Sophia. And we watched a movie called Past Lives, which is a foreign film. It's A24.
Oh, I heard this was a tearjerker.
It's a tearjerker. It's about these two kids. They're Korean, and that's all you need to know. No, they're Korean, and
Korea is so hot right now.
They have a strong connection as kids, and they don't see each other or talk for many years, and then they reconnect online, and then it tapers off again, and then they reconnect in person after many years, and one of them's married, and usually this invites all the tropes like, oh, the husband's a piece of shit, and none of that happens.
They're just friends.
It's a cuck movie.
Well, it's like you're the cuck.
Well, the audience is
no,
the
cuck. It has some it's great, got great performances. It's
because you have no friends.
See right here? This is where I was talking about. Like, yeah. I should go with the joke.
Just fight it.
Okay. the director, it's a first-time director. Got these beautiful little artistic flourishes that come and go, but they still feel very natural and grounded. Very impressionistic, little reflections in the water on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff that Jorge loves. Because you're into
I do.
Monet.
I am.
Right?
Like specifically Monet? Yeah,
you're real into landscapes.
Was Monet a landscape painter?
I don't know. I think so. Yeah, he was a landscape guy.
Was he?
Yeah, fucking flowers and lakes and shit.
Hmm.
Yeah, fuck yeah, man. Come on. This is the Monet podcast, bro. Hey, so, and then great performances. Oh, music is beautiful. It's the guy from Grizzly Bear. One of the guys from Grizzly Bear.
Gotta love it.
You gotta love it. I'm loving it. And then I looked up, I'm Googling in the middle of the movie who fucking did the music. Did, and it was the dude from Grizzly Bear. See? There it is. Beautiful stuff. And highly recommend it. Not to most of you, the listeners, because y'all just a bunch of gore hounds. Y'all don't want to see none of that.
Y'all don't know what
they don't even fuck.
Monet. They don't even fuck?
Maybe they fuck. I can't tell you. That's a spoiler.
Did you cry?
I cried at the end. It got me at the end.
It's a spoiler that he said maybe they fuck. God. They definitely they fuck.
Maybe it doesn't matter. If it's not about that.
Maybe it does matter, though.
It does. Maybe it matters. And that's what we did 4th of July. So what'd you do on 4th of July?
Shit. Went to a family friend's barbecue.
Oh, no.
A bunch of people I don't know.
Oh, no.
How'd that shit go?
It felt like, remember in Superbad when they're talking about, like, what'd you do for the weekend? And they're just kids at, like, an adult barbecue. And
I don't want to name the specifics, but
every time I go to a family,
maybe you should get tested for like Ebola or some shit this time.
I'm scared every time. I'm gonna get COVID. Yeah, for sure. Family barbecues now. I left early. I was scared for my health, but that's it. Nothing else there. And
are you living in fear, dude?
I'm living in fear. Yeah.
Good.
I think it's because of you. Because you getting COVID at every concert you go to, and you getting COVID at every monster truck.
Hell yeah, brother! I got COVID at one concert of 13 this year.
This year?
This year? I didn't go to 13 yet, but yeah.
Yeah, that's it. Was Past Lives the only movie you watched?
Oh, I watched a bunch of other shit. Right. What else did we watch that night? We watched something else that very night. Oh. We went home after, and then we ate. And the little doggies hate the fireworks. I'm in the camp. Ugh,
get rid of them, man.
Get rid of the fireworks.
All together. Just be done with them.
I thought you said get rid of the fucking dogs. I was going to say fuck you. Like,
they can just fuck off.
Yeah, they can, because you know why? Drones.
Drones is the thing.
Do a dope-ass fucking drone laser show and knock it off.
I live in a neighborhood of actual morons that will light off fireworks at like 2 in the afternoon. And it's like, brother.
And like 2 days later.
2 days later, 2 days before, day of.
They don't know that you can get fireworks all year. It's only special that day. Like, it's that fucking, it's total dick riding. It's like that is a perfect example in 2023 of like, it's 4th of July. Suddenly I'm super enamored by fireworks. Shut the fuck up, dude. You could buy them any day. Any day. It's the same thing like Thanksgiving. Like, oh, cranberry sauce. Can you pass the fuck cranberry sauce?
Patriotic stimming.
Yeah, it's just trash. Totally. You're riding the dick. You are riding that dick. Everyone likes explosions. I get that.
I do like an explosion, but not in my backyard constantly for 4 days.
On 4th of July, because you are so patriotic.
Correct.
Because in the fucking thing, it mentions the bombs bursting in air. Like, that's a good thing. You know, it's a good thing in Schloppenheimer, that I'll tell you that. But what else?
I don't know.
Oh, we watched Little Miss Sunshine. You know why?
It's a fantastic. Because Homeboy died.
Because fucking Alan Arkin died. And listen, you want to do the thing?
Well, he is an old white bitch who's dead.
An old Yiddish bitch.
Yeah.
And, dude, and then we watched The In-Laws because she hadn't seen it. I'd only seen it as a kid. But Peter Falk and fucking Alan Arkin to get... Alan Arkin's zero energy dryness. So dope.
I especially love him in Argo.
I'll go fuck yourself.
Dude, that movie is as rewatchable as The Martian to me anyways. I have seen that movie so many fucking times. It's unbelievable.
So you love...
I
Ben
love
Affleck as a director.
Ben Affleck. Just in general.
That's okay. You love his Dong and Gone Girl and his directing in Argo.
Speaks fluent Spanish. Yeah.
Like fluently?
Yeah, he goes to Mexico and does like all of his like fucking promotional shit on Mexican like TV shows and everything. He speaks full Spanish.
That's why he get that ass from J-Lo.
And an Armas.
Oh, jeez. Wow. For real?
They dated, yeah, for like a year or two.
I didn't know that.
Fuck.
I just like the meme where he's smoking a cigarette. That shit is great, yeah. Dude, where he looks like fucking.
I like the one where it's him and then a miniature version of him. It's like me and my son.
That's right. What else do we... Oh, so Little Miss Sunshine. I hadn't seen that since it came out. Mm-hmm. That shit holds up. That's a really good movie.
Is it Paul Dano?
Young Paul Dano reading Nietzsche and A Vow of Silence, and then freaking Tony Collette, Greg Kinnear sucks ass as the dad until the end, and then we got Steve Carell as a gay guy who is a Proust scholar. So the person who wrote this, Michael Arndt, likes Nietzsche and Proust. You know what he went on to write after that?
What?
Toy Story 3. He got best original screenplay that year. And then the Pixar said, homie, come over here and write dope-ass characters for us because we can tell you're good at that in a totally different way.
And then he did.
Star Wars The Force Awakens. And then he did Hunger Games, like three of them. So that guy fucking... All he does is make bank now, bro.
Oh, cool, dude.
There's apparently a new Hunger Games movie coming out.
It's the prequel.
Yeah.
And he's writing that.
Donald Sutherland origin story.
It's just weird. He's never gone back to a small-scale indie film like that since then.
Go ahead.
I was going to say the book's been out for a good bit of time.
Mm. Yeah, like Snakes and Birds or some shit.
Yeah. It's like the octopus and the snake or some dumb shit like that.
Song of snakes fucking birds.
Ah, yes. That old chestnut.
That old trend.
Yeah.
I watched About Schmidt. I like those fucking... he did Election. He did Sideways. Who's the director? You know what I'm talking about? God damn it.
Sideways. That's the Paul Giamatti.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. The Rented director.
That's the wine dude.
Alexander Payne. Alexander Payne, writer-director. He did Election. He did Sideways. He did About Schmidt. And I really like About Schmidt. I think it's actually pretty... It's well-regarded, but I think it's pretty underrated. It's holding up well. I've been watching movies like from the mid-2000s and early 2000s, I guess, recently, seeing how they hold up about 20 years later.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And yeah.
It's a good strategy. I like where you're at.
Hey, you know, keep it moving forward. Right. You know, we can't stay in the fucking 90s.
I can.
Okay. Sophia had watched Rise of the Planet of the Apes last time for the first time. We moved on to Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. And that movie just about broke her poor little heart. Because that is a solemn fucking blockbuster.
Yeah.
That shit does not have time for any fucking humor.
It's the second one, right?
Yeah.
The cinematography in that, I think it won an Oscar for that.
I think it was at least nominated.
That shit was good.
That's Matt Reeves when it was like, damn, bitch. So that shit is good. We're probably going to watch the third one soon. What else did we watch? Oh, Pandorum. Did you ever see this?
Yes.
Yep. Sci-fi horror movie.
I like it a lot.
I figured you would. I was like, the whole time I'm like, Jorge loves this.
I wanted to know your thoughts because I was so scared it doesn't hold up because I haven't seen it since it first came out. I liked it too.
I'd never seen it. And I had a buddy at the time who said it was good. And I was like, look, 30% can't be good. No, I'm just kidding. No, but
what's his name? It's Ben something or other, right? Ben
Affleck.
Ben Folds.
Ben Foster.
Ben Foster.
Who plays a fantastic psychopath in almost everything he does.
Well, and Dennis Quaid's like, he fucking goes all in, dude. Mm-hmm. Like, he's down to fuck. You know what I mean? DTF all the way. And then...
down to...
The movie, I really liked its ideas. It's got some hard sci-fi elements. It's got some good production design for a... I mean, it's a $30 million budget. So some parts, they get kind of trashy and kind of repetitive, but that kind of helps with the claustrophobic oppressiveness of the situation.
Norman Reedus gets pretty fucked up.
Yeah, that's dope. The gore, the horror elements clash, or not clashing, but going with the hard sci-fi elements, and then like a really satisfying climax that I did not fucking see coming at all. Where did the stars go? Which is a dope ass line. Like, that's like,
it's a fun movie.
I really liked where it ended up. So. Yeah, I had seen a couple articles over the years that said it was an underrated movie and kind of developed.
It's like Underwater.
It's a lot better than Underwater. No, Underwater was okay. It was okay. I don't think it's not nearly. It does. Underwater doesn't have any of those dope ass ideas.
Though. True. It's got one. Underwater has one dope ass idea.
Well, it's the opposite. And that's it. Instead of a like, wow, I didn't see that coming. It's like Underwater, and they were underwater.
And in fact, they were.
The movie's underwater. It's actually in space.
Now that
where did the bubbles go? Okay, wait. So
are you saving the best one for last?
Yeah, I think we gotta here go. How about you talk about what you watched, and then we'll both talk about that one.
Okay, all right. Yeah. So I just watched two movies, same franchise, but I'll talk about the good one first. I watched I discovered this YouTube video. This guy. Talking about this random gem he found. It's the Steven Soderbergh website. And he secretly does these fan edits of movies. He does weird shit like Psycho, where he spliced together the original and the Gus Van Sant remake, like together.
Side by side.
Side by side in black and white. And he did a fucking edit of Raiders of the Lost Ark in black and white. Takes out all the audio and replaces it. It's just filler with audio.
Trent Reznor.
Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross music. And the whole thing is like an exercise in studying the blocking and the structure of like the set pieces and all the cinematography. And I watched that shit and it's fucking so good in black and white. I really liked it.
Just a little bit. You watched the whole thing?
Yeah, the whole thing.
God damn. Good call. Yeah. No, because I wanted to. But just a little bit they were showing. Because I think, you know, here we go. Gush for Spielberg. Spielberg is known for being Spielberg and all this, but I think because of the tone of his movies, like Indiana Jones is so fun and it's kind of not campy, but a little bit. It's a throwback when it came out. You got this John Williams music. You got all this stuff like diverting you from his technique.
Exactly. So you remove that whole factor and you're just studying
just the filmmaking.
All the visuals. And holy shit, like, it's great.
Fucking dope.
Like, Spielberg was doing, like, these oneers that are, like, 3 minutes long that are just low-key, just really just two people talking. But it's just, like, the blocking of the shots, it's, like, so fucking well done. And I just, the music is cool. I love Trent Reznor, but it's just whatever. It's just a filler, but.
It's to get you away from the association you have with
exactly. Indiana Jones. Yeah, really good. It just felt very noir, and it just, you can't help but think about, like, Harrison Ford, like, feels so much like he belonged in like the 40s or 30s as an actor. Like he's
like fine ass Bogart.
Yeah, he's really like just this time capsule actor.
So. Racist as fuck.
What? Yes, exactly.
What?
Harrison?
Well, back in the 40s,
Ford's a quarter Jew.
Probably
not too shabby.
Well, Harrison Ford is, but is Indiana?
Dude, Indiana hates Nazis. That's all you need
to
know.
Yeah, but like,
he's an Antifa. He's literally Antifa. he's more Antifa than all of them because he killed Nazis.
He's literally killing Nazis.
Yeah, he's the one.
Yeah. So with that said, I watched that and then Dial of Destiny opening a weekend.
Wait, but no, go now. Hold on a second.
So did I.
Hold on a second. So yes. you hadn't seen Crystal Skull
until like a week ago. Yeah.
Until like a week ago. So you've been happily ingesting Raiders,
yes.
Last Crusade,
revisiting my childhood, yes, yeah.
Okay, and then you get dick slapped by Crystal Skull. And you're like, it can't get any worse than this.
100%.
It cannot. Like, there's no way that... there's no way that it gets worse than an alien fucking skull that's made out of fucking glass, right?
Well, dude, that's not the
and
the,
you can't get any worse than
the least of that movie's problems is the MacGuffin or the thing to me. Like, dude, an alien crystal skull with the fucking Mayans or Aztecs is a perfectly make it work, but what doesn't work again is everything in between.
Is everything else?
Yeah.
So, anywho.
Anyway, let's go to Dial of Destiny. Fucking
Dial of Destiny. Oh my gosh. It's been a while since I've had like the urge to just walk out of a movie, and this was one of them. And it felt way too long. It was one of the most soulless, boring Indiana Jones films I've seen. It like the only good parts is when he doesn't put on his hat and jacket and whip. Like, when he's just an old white bitch, it's actually like the only parts I cared about when it's actually grounded. And like James Mangold, I thought he was gonna do the Logan thing of being more low key, like a smaller scale story.
No, they ramped it up.
He just ramped it up, and you'd think, how do you top Aliens? I won't spoil it, but I don't. I mean, actually, it'll be out by then. Fucking, they top Aliens with.
Well, it's the Dial of Destiny.
Yeah.
So it involves destiny. And a dial that controls destinies.
And time. And they do a thing with time. And it's full adrenochrome in the last 20 minutes. I don't know. What are your thoughts on it? That's all I've seen.
You actually went to go see this piece?
I went to go see it because I said a few episodes ago, I'm not even interested in seeing it. But then I got hit with the let me go see this thing.
Just to get it out of the way.
And also I wanted to go to a movie. And I was like, well, let me fucking do this goddamn thing on this 4th of July weekend to go see this ass.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause I got really curious, honestly. I got really curious. And we wanted to go sit in the theater, and it's fucking hot and all that shit. Honestly, it's going to sound weird. I'm not as... You said you even actually prefer Crystal Skull.
Yeah, for me, yeah.
Not okay. No. This is fourth place for me, but okay, the opening sequence with they start with the de-aging thing where Indiana Jones is de-aged. I understand why they're trying to do this, but dude,
they're like, replicating Spielberg and yeah.
Dude, it is so fucking jarring because also they do this de-aging thing, Jorge, and it's Harrison Ford's current voice. So it's old man voice.
And his body.
So it's like, what are you doing?
He's like 40 pounds lighter. And he's like all shriveled up.
Meanwhile, the setup, like the all of the set piece and like the fucking sequence is pretty fucking amazing. But it feels way too synthetic. Like way too synthetic. And it doesn't just end with his face because it completely takes me out of the immersion factor of it. And then, like, dude, when they showed it in the daytime, like, they showed him in the daytime. I know, DoorDash is almost here.
I'll go get it.
You go get it.
That's what I mean. I'll go get it. Is it here?
That's what I said.
Is it here? So you can keep talking?
Oh, sure.
Is it here?
No, but you need to listen, baby boy.
Well, I don't want him to knock on the door is my problem.
They show his face in the daytime, and it's fucking crazy with the de-aging face with the sun on it. He looks like the animatronic fucking... Indiana Jones at Disneyland. Like, they got the like, it's bad. Okay, so that's just the beginning, right? So okay. I'm like, dude, please don't fucking do this. I agree with Jacob that the best moments of the movie were Indiana Jones being the character without the whip and the fedora and all that stuff. I did see a lot of the James Mangold stuff on here. Like, I had high hopes because it was James Mangold. But, you know, he makes these dusty, manly movies, and he tries to do that here, and Indiana Jones gets on a fucking horse in a parade and all that stuff.
Everything is good on paper,
yeah.
I think, for the most part. I kind of, like, when I saw the trailer, I thought it was going to be an actual, like, tearjerker, emotional, nostalgia trip.
Yeah.
But it just, it didn't do that.
There's a line where he says that there's a knife at the beginning that he's trying to get, right? And then he says, it's a fake. Like a reproduction. And I'm like, that's this movie. Like, it's a fake. It's a reproduction. There's a sequence in Tangier where there's like a go-kart sequence. Not a go-kart. Yeah. It was like Indiana Jones Mario Kart.
Hell yeah.
And it's a very inventive sequence, honestly. But like, it's kind of like too far gone by that point for me. But I want to give it like credit for it was an inventive sequence.
Yeah.
CGI chase sequence.
Throwing in Antonio Banderas randomly.
Antonio Banderas was fucking useless. Also, it's like, thanks for involving me, indeed. Now I'm dead. So, like, why does he do this?
You know? He always has like a new sidekick every movie.
Yeah, yeah. And also the whole legacy sequel thing, dude. Like, look, dude. Like, Kingdom of the Crystal Skull fucking took... You'd have to do something miraculous for me to, like, be on board with this.
Yeah.
And it's not. It's not.
But, and then they try to get a Short Round type of kid character at... Comes off like full, like, now this is pod racing, like, well, with the whole airplane.
We don't need another fucking kid just because it's in Temple of Doom. Like, these, it's the box checking, and it's just very cynical, like, underneath all these supposed good feelings about it and love of the stuff. It's just very, like, mechanical, very bland. And then I like the lore about Archimedes and all that shit. Like, I'm a dork. That's fucking cool.
The Antikytheria or whatever.
Yeah.
How it's like the first ancient computer, like in real life. Like, I love how there's always a grounded real life historical significance.
And they were talking about how, like, he had these devices way before anyone else, which is fucking cool.
You just mentioned that. Is it based off of what's it called? The Antikythera?
Yeah. That's the dial of this.
They worked the Archimedes lore into it.
The earliest computer.
I'm all for that shit.
Okay. Yeah,
work that shit in there. What's the name of the actor who plays Mads Mikkelsen? Dude, Mads Mikkelsen is a fucking... I love that guy, and he's a great guy to be a villain, and he doesn't have much to do here. Like,
I'm getting bored of his villain roles. It's just, it's the same.
Same kind
of
dude.
Yeah.
And then, what else we got here?
Unrelated. Oh, well, sort
it's 2 hours and 35 minutes. Fucking unacceptable, dude. No reason for it to be this long, Jorge. None.
Gulag.
If it was
Gulag
good,
time.
Maybe.
Even if it was good, like all of the Indiana Jones movies, like Raiders of the Lost Ark, in your head, it's like, well, it's epic. It feels long. It's an hour and 55 minutes. And when you watch it, it covers a lot of fucking ground.
Yeah, and it's at a good clip, too.
It fucking moves.
Yeah.
Temple of Doom moves. Last Crusade. Oh, that's your favorite, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, man, I'd give it 2 or 2.5 stars.
Oof.
You know, like, and that's the thing. That's like, oh, the last scene is beyond desperate. The last scene is fucking beyond desperate, dude. Like, you know, I kind of don't want to give spoiler, but dude, like, leave Marion out of this. Like, just stop. Just, you don't need to do this. And also, I thought he was wanted for murder. Like, that got all cleaned up. Why? Because he went back in time and saw Archimedes. Who gives a fuck? They wouldn't care. Like, dude, it's so, like, ridiculous. Like, it jumps the shark like that with any kind of, like, plot logic.
Yeah, it's very feel good at the end. Let's bring back just random. Bring back Gimli, you know?
Well, it's almost like I was wondering, is this Taxi Driver? Because you know how Taxi Driver...
Wow.
Like, did he actually die? And then they didn't even go back in time. Like, when he got shot in the chest, he just fucking died and he's imagining all this. So I think that's what... This is Taxi Driver, Indiana Jones version. This is Martin Scorsese's Dial of Destiny.
You know what? This movie's brilliant.
Maybe it is. In that case, it is.
But yeah, man. I'm fucking... I'm bummed. Oh, also... They stand to lose a lot of fucking money on this. $300 million price tag plus marketing.
The last couple few weeks have been brutal for Hollywood films.
That's what I... Dude, all these waning franchises. Jeez. Name one. Indiana Jones and Transformers and fucking Elemental. June has just been... Across Spider-Verse fucking dominated all this shit.
Yeah, there was a couple other things that... what else was it? Something that was
the
like...
Flash.
Oh, yeah, it was just like $300 million and it only made 60. Like, it's
almost exact.
Almost
numbers.
Exactly with Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
It's not good.
Fuck.
Well, man. And also, dude, consider that Disney purchased Lucasfilm for a $4 billion price tag. They did not purchase fucking Lucasfilm to have an Indiana Jones film open to $60 million with a $300 million budget. That's fucking, dude, Crystal Skull opened to over $100 million, and that was like fucking 15 years ago. Unadjusted for inflation.
It was sad not seeing the...
Oh, shit.
Paramount
Transformers came out?
Icon
like
fade into like a landmark. Remember how they used to do it in every movie?
They just had the Lucasfilm.
Yeah. Like, wow. Damn.
And then it's like, you know, everyone likes to blame fucking Frank Marshall and Kathleen Kennedy. And it's like, dude, I wish they were the only ones to blame. But, dude, like, they have abandoned their boy. Because
they have abandoned their boy.
Who produced Raiders of the Lost Ark? Frank Marshall and Kathleen Kennedy. Like, they should...
Yeah, they should know better.
Hello?
Yeah.
Hello?
Hello?
So please no more. Please just don't do this
anymore.
Maybe
with this whipping that they got, they'll stop.
Well, they will, and then it'll get rebooted eventually, and fucking, you know, who knows? But
dude, oh, and then Timothée Chalamet will be the new
Indiana I'm not Jones. Even just trying to be a purist here. It's hard to imagine a better ending for this guy than riding off into the sunset with his dad after drinking from the fucking Holy Grail. Like, that was kind of okay. I was okay with that fucking ending to this.
I'm a fan of Last Crusade, too. Yeah.
Like, seriously, what did you need? I get it, the money, but...
What did you need? Oh, just $300 million.
Yeah. So...
All right, well...
You're going to watch it, right?
Fuck nah. Well, I'll watch it. Well, I'll watch it when it's free.
That's right. There was that underwater part that was kind of cool to me, because I hadn't seen that in Indiana Jones, but it made sense in the 60s.
Did they find Jar Jar?
Well, they find CGI eels, and then I'm like, okay, I'm out. Trash.
Dope. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Quick meal break. Rhett's going to eat.
You're going to watch me
eat. I'm going to eat also because I've got some food too. We'll be right back to talk about... we got a big old honker to...
I knew you were going to say honker.
Big old honker to choke honk. Down. Honk! We're back.
Picture during this thing
too. We don't have time for any of that. Kevin Spacey or otherwise.
Well, that's a damn shame. We should do a Kevin Spacey podcast. Oof. We discuss each film with each allegation.
Oh god! While he's in the middle of it.
Yeah, and we have snippets, and then where we get lines of dialogue, and then change the context depending upon.
You don't have to change the context. He's just out there, mask off, saying these awful things in these movies he's in.
Mask off.
Mask off, dude.
That's when he gets to be himself. Like Giovanni Ribisi when he was in The Other Sister. He finally got to be himself.
True. You know who else gets to be themselves? Us on this show.
Oh!
Tell them about Patreon, dude.
Patreon is the place. Is it a place or is it a club? Or is it a group of people? Or is it all of the above?
It's all of them, dude.
Patreon is many things. If you go to www.patreon.com/whogoestherepodcast, you are privy to exclusive content. We have quite a bit on before this show. A lot of time recently we're talking about news and all sorts of other stuff. Very shortly we're going to start up doing Patreon exclusive episodes. We're in the process of reworking the tiers. Once again, that's T-I-E-R-S, those tiers.
We're also reworking our tiers.
Retooling the tiers.
You like Tool, dude?
You like Tool? Thank you. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, in fact, I do.
That reminds me in the song H, when he's like, I should have cried. I could have cried. But you don't have to cry. Just go to www.patreon.com/whogoestherepodcast and give us $1, $5, $10, $20. Someone's doing $50. There's a $500 tier.
That, God, what a psychopath.
I don't know. You know, I don't know what the fuck we'll do for you. I guess it's kind of up to you.
You get to do what you want to do.
So thank you to all our patrons. Speaking of Patreon.
There's a brand new one. Gabby.
Hi, Gabby.
That's all we know. It's Gabby. Hello, Gabby.
Welcome. And yeah.
Welcome to the family. Saw you on Discord. Nice to see you.
She came to Discord and
then immediately left.
She's all, no.
'Tis a silly place.
No, you know what? I get it, though. It's an intimidating place. It's an intimidating place when you come to Discord and you see all of the wonderful stuff and you're like, what can I possibly contribute to this pedigree? To this collection of wisdom?
Ooh. Good?
Wisdom and who goes there. Those are two words that
it's go well just together. Hand in hand.
To be defend stupidity. Now it's who goes there.
Wisdom.
Go with wisdom.
So the Who Goes There podcast watched a whole season of fucking TV. The Black Mirror season 6, which is an odd number of episodes. Five episodes. Kind of strange. Kind of sick with it though. Yeah, we're gonna kind of crank through them episode 1 through 5 in no particular order as the order they were viewed, and then we'll give our opinions on.
Sorry, I had to turn my phone down.
What'd you do, dude? You had to turn it down.
Yeah.
That's good, dude. All right. So we're going to start with, I think we're going to start with Joan is awful. Joan is awful.
And is Joan motherfucking awful or what? She's actually not that awful.
She's actually kind of okay. She's kind of fine. But is this episode awful? That's really what we got to get down into it.
So here's where we decide how we're going to do this.
Sure.
So let's decide how we're going to do this. Jacob, is Joan is awful awful or is Joan is awful a falafel?
Depends if you like falafel.
Falafel.
Falafels are okay, and I would say Joan is awful is a falafel.
Just okay.
It's okay. I think that's because I am new to Black Mirror, and last week I talked about how I've watched the best of recommended. Oh, yeah,
you got the full.
So I got the full experience. So going into it, I feel like maybe this is what I would consider just an quote unquote ordinary Black Mirror episode. And but I still, there's still a lot I liked about it, but I feel like some of the themes might be just a little cute, I guess. I mean, obvious, I don't know, but it's there's some interesting shit, and it gets a little weird at the end, but I could save that for later.
Yeah, I think this is not necessarily quality wise, but it's on par with other episodes like the one with Bryce Dallas Howard.
Yeah.
Where nosedive.
Yeah.
It's in that very super meta, comedic, satirical farce Black Mirror episode. And so just for that, I know it sounds like faint praise. It wasn't for me. I was happy to see it again because real quick on Black Mirror, like seasons 1, 2, and 3 I loved. 4 I didn't like as much. 5 I thought was pretty bad.
Yeah, and that Bandersnatch or whatever was no good.
Except there was a couple high points on it, you know, with season 5. But this one, it was good to see it back in form, and I thought it was a fun episode. I liked the meta stuff. I liked, you know, I'm a sucker for certain ideas, and it went places I wasn't anticipating. And honestly, it went places I haven't seen before. Do I think it's like one of the all-time greats? No. But I liked it. I liked it enough to where I was, it made me really eager to watch the next one immediately.
It's which, a warm up. I think it warms you up.
It was a good reintroduction. And I think it's as good as the best episodes probably of season 5. I'd need to look that up to substantiate that because I want to make sure that's not the season with freaking USS Callister because that episode's fucking dope. I think that might be season 4 though, but. Either way, so I thought I was pretty pleased with it. It's not all-time great stuff, but it's there with Nosedive. It's one of those type of episodes, and I was amused by it. Jorge, why does it suck?
You know, I wouldn't go so far as to say that it sucks. I just
think it's a little too cute.
That it is a little too cute, and I kind of got that feeling throughout the entire season. We'll kind of talk about them as we get to them. I think Joan is Awful is probably the most Black Mirror episode of this season in terms of like the technological aspects and it's gonna we're a layer deeper than you think. Oh no, we're actually one layer deeper than that. You get it?
Well, you don't ever know what layer of consciousness you're on,
bro. It's always like, no, dude, it's Selma Hayek who's the no, it's not, dude. Joke's on you, idiot. Like, okay, cool. I'm fine. We got one of these. Great, cool. Got this one out of the way. Joan is just like a normal ass person, and it's fine. It's okay.
I like how it's this super exaggerated. It's kind of like social media, but to like the 10th power, right? Because people are living their lives in public.
Right.
Right. So, yeah, it got me thinking about a lot of stuff. And it's like when people's lives are under a microscope, anyone is going to look fucking bad. Anyone. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I like those aspects.
I just think that somebody thought, oh, dude, ChatGPT real hot right now. Let's make an episode about that.
Yeah, this whole AI shit generating basically a movie, a full-on movie by itself. I mean, is it far off? The concept is there already, but it's, like you said, it's to the 10th power. It's the whole phone's listening to you. Like, we already know about that. It's we've already kind of, a lot of us accepted this whole thing with the targeted ads and all electronic devices constantly listening. It kind of just dials that up quite a bit. But Yeah, no, it's this whole like invasion of privacy, right? Just commentary and. Well,
see, this is where I'm going to get all Charlie Brooker with you. I think Charlie Brooker finds this stuff fascinating because he is a kind of another layer deeper a lot with this. So it asks questions about why do we create situations like this, though? Why do we represent ourselves online? Why do we play a video game where you have a character who lives and dies over and over again? So we're like constantly mirror, like, why does an actor go in a movie and then pretend to be another character and they create this simulacrum of reality? Because it's doing the same thing that consciousness is already doing in a bunch of life forms. Simulacrum, yes. Like, it's not, they're not in a real fucking place.
No, I was just judging your pronunciation.
Yeah, like, if you put this with some Charlie Kaufman shit, like, there's a reason. It's not just the technology. It's, why do we make technologies like this? And it's satisfying an urge of consciousness. It's not just a human situation.
You know, I understand.
Like, it's living through it. Like, the surface level thing is, it's a show on Netflix. We're the show on Netflix. For this biosuit is the show on Netflix.
Oh, consciousness, just sentient bro. Meat, dude.
Exactly, dude.
I get it. And it's in concept,
but cool. I really like it. That
I just this is the eighth time in this series of shows.
True.
In these seasons that we've been like, oh, dude, is this the reality, or like, is none of it reality, or well, is
that's,
it?
That's the bit.
I know. I get it, dude. And that's cool. I like exploring. It's the these
best
things.
Thing ever made.
True. I just don't think that as a representation of that thing, this is the least impactful of the bunch. Yeah.
One thing I'll say too, in a very detrimental sense, before moving on to the second one, the humor, I think some of it works. It was cool to see Salma Hayek really commit to this bit and all that.
Yeah, very surprising.
That being said, I'm starting to really feel the generation gap between millennials and Zoomers, and this feels decidedly millennial humor. Do you know what I mean by that? It feels like it's like this very self-conscious, of course it's very meta, and it's like a little forced, and it doesn't feel as fresh as it did 10 years ago when Black Mirror fucking debuted. I'm starting to feel the cracks in that kind of fucking humor now. And that's not just the detriment of Charlie Brooker or the show, but it's time is moving and it doesn't feel as fucking fresh. It just doesn't. So, and that's, you know, when this episode, the tone of it's very light and playful. So when some of the humor is just corny, I'm like,
who's that for?
Yeah. It's for aging millennial bitches like myself, but unfortunately, I want to stay with the Zoomers.
Yeah, because you're not catching the youngest demo on
absolutely
this
not.
Sort of content.
No, yeah, so you can feel it moving. Like, we're moving. Like, it's aging, right? Like,
is it moving?
It's moving, dude. Well, that's Donovan. All right, here we go.
So it's fine. It's literally an episode of Black Mirror.
And then this is a good reference point. According to good old... is that the score? Yeah, according to IMDb, Joan is Awful is sitting at a 7.4 from 27,000 votes.
Which, okay.
Yeah.
I accept your score, IMDb.
Yes.
Moving on to Locke Henry.
You go first, homie.
Okay. It's well acted. I think these kids are doing these young children are doing a good job at what you know. I kind of fucking hate this episode.
Psych!
I kind of fucking hate this episode.
Who do you think you are, dude?
I'm just a guy trying to watch.
You're just a guy who gives Phantom Menace 3 stars out of 5.
There it is. I'm just trying to be entertained by things, and I cannot
damn
fathom for the life of me why they decided that a goofy little murder mystery episode was the way to go. That had kind of fucking no payoff. The payoff was, it was them all along. Oh, fuck. Oh, I got Black Mirrored. Oh, shit. You got me. Fuck. It was kind of fucking boring. And the reveal was also kind of fucking boring. Moving on. You.
Disagree.
Fine.
I thought it was super fucking, super dark, super bleak. I love the red mask fucking bit. And when she puts two and two together, I like the, I mean. It,
motherfucker, they had one, hey, you went two, your, you did three, your shit. Four. Sorry.
Continue. Well, look, there are people who do. Most people don't get caught for shit, period. And I'm not talking about, I'm not saying, oh, what does Rhett do? Nothing. I get crazy and fucking drink kombucha and watch movies late at night.
You're so drunk on kombucha.
Yeah. Right, like, so, no, but I'm saying, like, this, you know, like, I really appreciate that. And I didn't see it coming. But just because I didn't see it coming doesn't mean it's good. I didn't see fucking the end of Knock at the Cabin coming. So who cares?
And not to say that I'm like, oh, I suck. I at the end of it, I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah, it didn't resonate with you. I thought, like, you, I appreciate you said it was very well acted. At first, I would thought it was a little slow, but I got more and more engaged. And their relationship, the stuff that happens here plot-wise, like when she fucking falls in the river and then fucking drowns, and like it just kept getting bleaker and bleaker. And then, like, where this ended up, the payoff for me was, it's kind of it's a very on the nose point it's making about our obsession with true crime.
The exploitation.
And our obsession with the exploitation of it. But it's also, I'm obsessed. I don't want to say I'm obsessed with true crime, but dude, I watched the Waco thing. It was fucking great. I watched the fucking Dahmer series.
You're into it.
Into it. It's, you know, and the episode knows that. That's why I'm into the episode. And I'm into, like, her seeing the red mask and all of that. Because for me, I guess maybe personal stuff, that moment of realization where your fucking world turns upside down and your worst nightmare is happening, like, you know, that happens sometimes. And I liked that moment. I thought that was very fucking dark and horrific. I liked the tone of it and where it ends up, where the guys fucking, they have the award ceremony and all that. It feels very fucking biting and very cynical to me. And it might feel kind of obvious, but I admired how it committed to it. It committed to that line of thought and followed it through.
Committed to the doldrums.
I didn't find it doldrums. And then, like, you know, what'd you think, Jacob?
I liked it a lot. I dug how bleak it is. I mean, this and the next episode, there's a big tonal shift from Jonah's Awful. And I kind of like just the true crime aspect. I like kind of waiting to see when it gets to that Black Mirror point where I'm like, oh yeah, this is very Black Mirror. It doesn't really reach that until maybe towards the end with some thematic stuff. But I like the natural dialogue. I like how it, this, and then we'll talk about the next one, they kind of feel more closer to like a full feature film with like almost a three act structure. And I think this might be the only one that had like some real good tension in the, you know, towards like the last like 20 minutes of it that I actually enjoyed. And I wasn't expecting
the mom going after in the car.
Yeah. I really liked the tension in that. And, you know, you're suspicious of his best friend's father. And then, yeah, I really liked it. It was a very good thriller at one point. I like the filmmaking aspect, the montages they do of kind of like the film. I don't know. It feels kind of like a love letter to documentary filmmaking, but also a criticism of it at the same time.
At the same time, right?
Yeah. So, because you're almost passionate, and you love that they're just him and his girlfriend are going out and doing this thing, and then it just becomes this crazy obsession. And
it's also I'm glad you mentioned that because it's bringing up all the other stuff for me. It's like a Pandora's box thing, like because they want to get good footage and film the thing and. You know, and ostensibly their ideas are rooted in journalism and all this. But it's like, dude, it's like anything else. Like, you keep digging and you're going to find something you don't want to see. And they really find something they don't want to see.
Yeah.
You know, and I like that.
Yeah. I like the ending. It gets like, he becomes the subject of his own shit. It gets almost like a little gonzo journalism, you know. I dug it. It's but I feel like, yeah, maybe the last 5 minutes it fumbles a little bit with the thematic stuff for me. But yeah, overall, it's one of my favorites.
I may just be a victim of my own fucking expectations with this season. Because
season five sucked ass. So I was like, cool, two in, we're good.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I did this to myself. Because I came into this season kind of hoping that the... the shittiness of the last season was going to be completely like, we're starting fresh. And I forget that it's the same fucking creator, and it's going to be the same, likely the same themes going on, right? And so I just, I don't know, man. This one did not resonate with me. I not at all. Mm.
Well, so be it.
So be it,
Jedi.
We can say that, and we can get along still.
Yeah, and episode one is 3 stars out of 5, according to Jorge.
Like 3 out of 6.
That's better. We're getting better.
See,
you're doing good.
Okay. All right. Next up, Beyond the Sea. Beyond the Sea. Jacob, what'd you think of Beyond the Sea?
This was my favorite. I feel like I'll jump right real quick, not without spoiling, but the ending feels like it's going to be like a very divided among audiences. But I loved every minute of it. It's like I mentioned before, it's an hour and 20 minutes, 80 minutes. It's almost a full feature film at that point.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's an opus.
Yeah, I liked it. I love Josh Hartnett. It's probably one of his best performances, I guess.
He's a dad bod now.
Best since at least, what's the school movie?
The faculty, with the
silly hair.
Yeah, he's all grown up now.
Better than the faculty.
Finger blasting his wife, you know.
Take that,
it's good.
Assholes.
And I always love the moment in some of these, most Black Mirror episodes where you're like waiting for that element, the Black Mirror shit. And then how they inch towards this with like little bits of dialogue and breadcrumbs. And it just, I don't know, intrigues me. And then, God damn, you used this term when I talked about when I first started watching the show, soul crushing.
Oh!
And that is the perfect...
It's got it going on in this one.
Is it? I don't know. It's probably one of the most soul crushing fucking episodes. And I liked it. I don't want to...
This one is the best of the season and actually a really good, really good episode. Not to say actually, like, oh, finally, looking... But I don't think that, like, if we're judging them off of the other episodes, it's like, oh, it's good because it's better than the other ones. This is actually really great. I'm loving the replicant shit that's going on. The finger blasting his wife with his robot dildo. That's fucking cool too. Yeah, man, this is really great. And seeing Jesse Pinkman painting is kind of hilarious. I really dig those scenes when he's just sitting there and he's fucking just painting.
We're getting some Face Off vibes with this shit. Fucking Aaron Paul doing Josh Hartnett, you know? It's fucking, yeah. It's kind of weird.
And he did a really good job. And he was not only doing Josh Hartnett, but doing the character Josh Hartnett was playing. So he had those softer mannerisms and, you know?
Yeah. It takes a little historical.
He pursed his lips.
And then definitely like getting down to the rapey shit. He's into the rapey shit.
Whoa, 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 whoa. So this episode, right out of the gate, one thing I appreciate about it is it's Black Mirror, very much Black Mirror, but it's in an alternate 1960s with astronauts and they're using these body. It's a cool fucking premise and it's such a specific premise. This is why I'm like, dude, this guy really comes up with some original scenarios that get to explore some issues.
This is Charlie Brooker you're talking about?
Yeah, so they get to explore these very uncomfortable issues and also some really mature issues about relationships. The all three of the actors really have to fucking go all in here, including Mara Rooney, who I've always liked, by the way. Not Mara. What's her name?
Yeah. Kate? No, is it Kate Mara? Kate Mara, Rooney Mara's sister.
Mara Rooney?
Mayor Rudy.
Mayor Rudy
Giuliani.
Rudy Giuliani?
Oh, dude, the Invisible Woman Fantastic Four.
Kate Mara. Yeah. The Invisible Woman and yes, in that fucking terrible...
With their wig.
But yeah, she does a great job. And I think too, it's slow enough. Like the pace of it, I think is just about perfect because it really... You start feeling like, oh, now it's going to go this direction, and it does, but then it veers to the left. And then the incident that happens at the beginning, this kind of horrific, like, this kind of alternate Manson family type deal, is fucking cool because it gets to kind of explore, like, the sociocultural stuff in this kind of weird way.
I mean, imagine androids living amongst you in the 1960s. Like, that's...
Yeah.
That's fucking shocking. There's going to be a lot of, you know, dissent from...
And it's just taken very, like, matter of fact. You know, like, this is how it works in this universe, you know? Where this ends up again, like, it's almost goofy to me that it ends up so tragic. But it's like, dude, what else would happen?
Yeah, part of me was arguing with myself, like... Is it force? Is it trying to be shocking for the sake of being shocking and be a parallel to the beginning? Is it unearned?
Right.
But you know, the more I thought about it, just the exchanges towards the end between those two characters and how much hurt Josh Hartnett's character feels and what it drives him to. It's and to think about. I wish there was it shows a little bit more of the passage of time and how it'll drive him crazy, but. It felt earned in the end.
I think so too, and I think it feels earned because it does it's a good analysis of these kind of negative aspects of masculinity, of possessiveness, of jealousy, of lust, of those kinds of things. And so, yeah, it does show very. I mean, crimes of passion happen every fucking day. You don't have to be an android, have an android body on Earth,
right? To want to.
So that's that's what it's dealing with in this very kind of like roundabout way.
Well, right, because the obvious ending would have been like, oh, he's just going to be down there to finger blast his wife all the time.
But look, man, the next time you bring marriage. That up, I want you to know. That's really inappropriate. You keep bringing that up. I don't want to. That's not what we do.
Well, finger blast our wife with our robot?
Yeah!
Because like the obvious thing is like, oh, he's just going to live down there. Like, you know. And I liked it. They went with we're killing everyone. It's good stuff.
Yeah, I mean, yes, you're all, you're like, yeah, you know what? Yeah, fucking you know, kill
fuck
him
his
all.
Wife.
Yeah, fuck that wife.
And it just ends with that great chair kick and just sit like, down
come on,
with
take
me.
Take a seat.
And we're going to fucking do this together, just me and you.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was great.
And how do you think that goes?
I think they both just,
they fucking space.
They kill each other. I mean, how else is it going to go? You think he's going to be like, oh, it's cool, dude.
Maybe, because now they can trauma bond. They can butt fuck in space.
There it is.
There it is.
And Jorge watched this movie, The Covenant, too, by the way. And,
let's rewind, by the way.
Psych!
Psych?
We'll cover that another time.
Psych?
So wait, real quick before we move on. So that one is currently sitting at a 7.4 as well.
Yeah.
The previous one, which Jorge was not a big fan of, but Jake and I like, is at a 7.3. I like it a little more than that, Lock Henry. But Beyond the Sea, I'd agree out of the three we've mentioned so far, it's the best of the season.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Moving on to...
This one's all you, dude.
Maisie Day.
Trash. What I go first on this one.
Well, okay, go for it, man.
This fucking episode is trash. This is peak season 5 Black Mirror trash in season 6 Black Mirror. Doesn't belong on the fucking show. It's not good enough. It's stupid. It's cool that, like, working the werewolf thing at the end, the transformation scene is cool.
It's a fucking Shudder original creep show episode.
And also, like, talk about on the nose, like paparazzi, like, I got you.
Oh, they're wolves, dude.
I got you, dude.
Oh, dude, do you get
it? Well, I didn't think, like, I meant just, like, the fact that they're even going there with this paparazzi thing.
Oh, they're wolves,
dude. By the way, I looked at season 5. Season 5 had 3 episodes, Smithereens, Striking Vipers, and Rachel, Jack, and Ashley 2. It only had 3 episodes and they all sucked.
I didn't watch any of them. But the Striking Vipers is the one where he's like, fucking kiss me, dude. Is that the one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was, it had some interesting ideas, but not good. But just like this one. But this one doesn't really even have interesting ideas.
None.
It's slow. And it's short. It's just like one of the shortest episodes and it fucking drags. I looked at the time to see, and like, there's 18 minutes left and they fucking got nowhere with the story. I was really disappointed.
It's wild how tonally just fucked it is. I can't even really begin to parse my thoughts on this one because it is so mindless and it is so badly written, which is kind of wild. especially coming off the heels of Beyond the Sea, that it's like, oh yeah, dude, it's an exploration of you know, humanity and how we're just voyeurs.
Kind of like he blew his wad a little bit.
And look, dude, and the paparazzi, it's oh fuck, and stardom is this, and guess what? It's fucking wolves.
Wolves, it's, dude. It's a werewolf, and I've never seen something wrap up so fast in like 2 fucking minutes. That shit, they go on like a full-on shootout, a terrible chase scene in a forest.
Yep.
Terrible camera work, and then they go to a fucking diner, and they shoot down a werewolf with one bullet.
And then it's over.
And then it's over. I couldn't believe how, yeah, it really felt like some Creepshow episode. I didn't feel anything like Black Mirror.
It's a plotting mess that, like you're saying, ends up wrapping up the story in like 2.4 minutes, and it's like, Jesus Christ, man, this is not good.
Oh! Man. And it's sitting at a 5.3, which is well-earned, and I'd say, yeah, this is one of the weakest episodes of it's the weakest episode of this season, and one of the weakest of the series.
Yeah, agreed.
It's trash. I don't dislike this actress either. She was in Deadpool 2, I forget her name.
Zazie Beetz.
Yeah.
She was not a likable character, though. Good actress.
Oh, no. Well, and that's, you know what? The last scene where she picks up the camera, dude.
I was like,
get him to commit suicide, dude, on camera, dude.
Oh, dude.
That's what I think redeems it and makes it the best episode of the season. Just kidding.
Mm-hmm.
So, that leaves episode 5.
Demon 99. That probably would have been better.
Spider-Man 2099
would have
been better.
Demon 79. What'd you think?
This is my second favorite of the season. It was Hi Sophia's favorite of the season. Again, it does another thing where we have a time jump here, this time to the late 70s?
79.
It's in the title.
Hey! Fuck, man, I'm not looking at it, okay? In fact,
you might even say it's the latest of the
70s. Well, look, you know what? That's not the late 70s. That's 1979. I'm done.
Shake
That's
down.
It. It's great. That's all I get. No. I think the cinema, this is very much in the style, in many ways, of the 70s horror flicks, right? With a lot of the color palette, and of course, a lot of that stuff. I think it does a good job recreating the time and place. I think the lead is appealing. I loved the stuff where how the demon is presented as this. It's going to present itself in a way that's accessible to the person, right? And it presents itself as this R&B star. Right?
Boney M. Yeah.
What's the name?
The lead singer, Boney M.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Yeah.
That was dope. And I thought that actor was fucking, he was great.
You know where you seen him from, right?
No.
Motherfucking Men. He's the toxic boyfriend.
Motherfucking Men, dude.
Here we go.
See?
It's full circle.
Here he goes again. Yeah. Which is a great episode of Who Goes There, by the way. It's in the back catalog. Go ahead, look that up. But yeah, I really enjoyed it. I liked the ideas, and I liked this, the whole thing, is she losing her mind, or is this fucking legit? And I really appreciate at the end, when fucking hell does break loose, the guy says, they actually did it, right? You know what that's from? That's a callback to Threads. That's a line directly lifted from Threads, because it deals with the nuclear bomb, the nuclear stuff. And it's fucking, it's directly lifted from it.
I like the nihilistic, but kind of feel good ending. It's kind of cool. It reminded me of Cabin in the Woods, at the end of Cabin in the Woods.
Yes. I mean, I'm sorry, I went right to the ending there. I agree about the ending. It was fucking cool. They get to go into this other place and time outside of the fucking human situation.
Yeah.
Because they've both been banished, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is, it's a cool concept.
It's not so bad to be banished if you're banished in good company.
Great.
that's a Hallmark card for you. And then, not all who wander are lost. Idiots. All right. And so, I thought, again, the lead was appealing. And, the shit about, like, how she's getting the guy over there. There was a lot of suspense, too. Like, fucking kill him. Like, you got to kill this fucking guy. Also, especially when they showed his apartment. And, like, this guy is a fucking dirtbag, dude. Like, it's really bad. And I like that she gets these little inklings of like this, the fucking priest is a, he diddles kids and shit. It's like, okay.
But topical.
What'd you think?
Oh no, I really like this one. Not quite as much as Beyond the Sea. I think it's my second favorite in the bunch, which I guess isn't saying much because I dislike three of them. But yeah, it's good. I enjoy the otherworldly aspects of it. Like we got into some actual demon-y stuff, which I'm very much into. The actor playing the demon is fucking fantastic, like you said yourself. Yeah. She's also great. I think, you know, fish
she's out of... She's also great.
She's also great. I think a fish out of water story in the middle of this whole thing, and it's reminiscent of today's today's world. also very fun. I like that you get kind of a prequel to all of the shit that happens in the Black Mirror series. You get the culty stuff. You get the, you know, the symbology of the cult and everything. I like all that. A lot of Easter eggs in this one. Yeah, I think it's quite good.
Fuck yeah. Yeah, the moment the title card hits, I feel like it's kind of revealing its cards of what it wants to be. And I like the balance of humor and really great character-driven story. I love that the beginning, they do really good storytelling in like the first 10 minutes. She doesn't talk at all. It just shows her everyday life, what she's dealing with, this whole anti-immigration thing going on.
Oh, yeah. That.
Yeah, it was great. And in this introduction of the demon and putting him in this form and this their bonding, like it just shows how well you can do character development and developing this whole arc just over the course of, you know, 60 minutes, 50 minutes. Really well, well done writing.
Agreed. Mm-hmm. And it's sitting inexplicably
at a 6.7. Odd.
Idiots! No, I mean, I'd actually
maybe enough online. People haven't finished the episode yet. There's only 13,000 votes on that one.
They didn't get to the end of the season. They said fuck this Maisie Day.
Fuck this Maisie Day shit.
So... I'd been reading online as we do. A lot of these episodes in this season actually was kind of fairly divisive for quite a few people. I know our buddy Say You Love Satan, like Jessup, was a big fan from what I could see what they were posting on Instagram and whatnot. We talked to a few of our listeners on Discord about them. But yeah, I think this is a sufficient bounce back from seasons 4 and 5. Again, though, season 4 was the one with USS McAllister, which is probably, in and of itself, a stronger episode than any of these, maybe with the exception of Beyond the Sea. Or did you watch USS Callister?
That one I didn't watch.
That one's a great episode. You'll dig that one.
Okay.
It's got Meth Damon, which is, what's that guy's real name? That's how I know him.
It's Meth Damon.
Magnets, bitch. The guy who helps him with the magnets.
Oh, Aaron Paul?
Not Aaron Paul, but he's helping him with the magnets. He looks like Matt Damon, but not nearly as handsome, and like he might have been doing meth.
Ted Raimi?
Close. where's my good old Google?
Who's Matt Damon?
It's one of the Raimi brothers.
Hold up. Go on, and while
just
I
just vamp.
Meth what? Damon, Breaking Bad. Jesse Plemons.
Oh shit! Oh my god!
I googled Meth Damon and Jesse Plemons popped up.
Yeah.
So damn. Thank you, Google.
Yeah, he's got an odd face.
Solid fucking actor though.
He's
good almost every time.
I wouldn't say like he's not good looking. He's just he's got a face.
He's not as good looking as Matt Damon. That's for goddamn sure.
Or Jesse Pinkman.
Whoa. There, it's a different kind of... That's a different body type, right? He's definitely not as good looking as fucking Josh Hartnett. Especially now that Josh Hartnett is beefy.
He's back.
He's back. He's fucking beefy, dude. He will fuck you up now. Did you notice? Besides he's just older and he's beefy, he's got arms. Like Josh Hartnett? Josh Hartnett with fucking beef-ass arms is something to kind of behold.
Because he's lanky, and now he's got...
Now he's lanky and stocky.
Yeah, you get full treadmill exercise scenes of Josh Hartnett.
He's got length and girth.
Yeah, agreed.
Whereas before he had, at best, maybe length. So, that's reason enough to watch.
Yeah, exactly.
So, our ranking definitively. It sounds like we're in general agreement.
I think so.
What's your well, Jorge, let's do this real quick to wrap it up.
What's your ranking? Worst is Maisie Day 1000%.
Mm-hmm. Zero out of five finger blasts.
No finger blasts in Maisie Day. Coming up with one finger blast is probably Locke Henry. Coming up with three finger blasts is Joan is awful. Four finger blasts, Demon 79, and Beyond the Sea. All of the finger blasts.
I'm gonna swap out the fucking
Lock Henry and Joan is awful. I know.
In fact, yeah, and I'm right there with you, Jacob. And I might swap out, depending on my fucking mood, Demon 79 and Lock Henry. Believe it or not,
I liked it, but I'm curious to know how that one holds up at with the second watch. But I in the moment, Lock Henry, I like the suspense. I feel like that was one of the few Black Mirror episodes for me where I was on edge. I was being edged. Yeah,
being edged is always a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
So that completes a little slate we had there, and next week we're going to do a film called The Pope's Sexorcist. And
I can't wait.
Russell Crowe is on...
It's a good Rob Zombie.
Is it a Vespa? It's not a Vespa. But it's based on a real dude.
Is it a scooter in
Italia?
Oh, it's definitely a Vespa.
Yeah, but I think I saw like it had like a Ferrari symbol on it. Did Ferrari make Vespas?
It's probably a Vespa. And he's saying, ciao, bella.
Dude. Wait, yeah, y'all wait for this. Many of you have seen it. Quite a few of you had recommended it, and I was fucking
shocked. I am having a cigarette on my Vespa.
Yeah, it's going to be good. And then, yeah, we'll get a new slate coming up soon.
Well, we already have it.
Well, yeah, but we're not giving it to them
now. We're just edging them a little
bit. You got to check our Instagram. What's the theme? Do you want to
tease them with the theme?
Finger blasting.
The closest thing to a theme is being that we're dealing with supernatural and slash possession stuff. It's the next four movies are firmly in the supernatural camp, in that kind of area. It's not technology fucks. It's not giant bug lords. And... It's not anything in there. It's more supernatural stuff.
Do you think when he was finger blasting his wife, do you think his like robot hands were like super powered, where he could like vibrate his fingers really quickly, or just like blast the whole thing really quickly, or do you think they're just human hands?
100% bionic commando fingers. Yeah.
Well, I think that it depends what guy was in the body, and I know that sounds strange.
Oh, so you're saying Josh Hartnett would?
Yeah, because you're like, it doesn't just depend on the body; it depends on
the driver.
It depends on the driver.
Yeah, I agree. Right. I can imagine getting finger blasted by a Josh Hartnett robot would be alluring.
Because the reason I can is because of the brain body connection.
Right.
It doesn't have anything to do with just like...
just the robot.
My motor skills. I got to know I have the motor skills. I got to believe I have the motor
skills. You got to know that your robot can do it. First off. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You got to tap into
the... because if fucking Jesse Pinkman wasn't doing that shit because he never learned it in his body, then his robot won't do it.
Right.
Hartnett does it in his body, so therefore his robot... like the robot can't handle it.
It's just that, yeah... Jesse Pinkman
can't. He doesn't even know it's fucking possible.
He doesn't even know it's possible.
And that's why he got fucking cucked by Hartnett.
True.
Clearly.
True. Can you imagine a hand job from fucking Josh Hartnett's robot? That'd be great.
Yeah. And I have. Just kidding. I don't know why you're getting so homoerotic.
You've imagined it?
You know what, dude? You always had like a homoerotic strain to you. And now that it's just you and me and now Jacob's here, you've really taken off with this homoeroticism. And I just don't know what to make of it.
Just make of it as you will.
Because I never do that.
Truth.
Pope's Sexorcist.
Jesus.
And you'll see the rest of it soon. And welcome once again to our new Patreon.
Gabby.
Gabby. And then we had the other gentleman a couple weeks before that. He's dope. He has good taste in music. He likes Callous Dowboys. And anything else?
That'll do it.
That'll do it.
All right, dummies. We'll see you next week when we talk about
Pope's Exorcist.
Pope's Exorcist. That's right. That's right. Maybe. So, I mean, I if I was to guess, finger blasting in that film also.
Probably.
Just guessing.
It's available to rent on VOD for like $5 now. It's not like $20 to rent it, which is good.
That is tight. All right, idiots. That's 388 signing out. This is Jorge.
This is Jacob.
This is
Ree.
Bye, Sophia.
I'm not gonna worry wrinkles in my brow. Nothing's ever gonna be all right, no how. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive.